Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Defense, Brian. Let's talk some defense. Let's turn this show on its head, baby, because we're going to get super positive, because my takeaway from watching the defense is they were better than I thought they were in person, to be perfectly honest with you. And again, I will tell people that the way that we do things at Irish Breakdown, since I was live, I was kind of watching the all 22, if you will. So I was watching kind of the receivers and the defensive backs, etc. And Brian was paying attention to the line. So when I went back and watched now I'm paying attention to the line. And holy schmolies, Notre Dame's front seven, specifically the line, played out of their minds. They controlled the line of scrimmage the entire game. And it allowed not only the linebackers to make plays at the line of scrimmage, but the defensive line was making plays at the line of scrimmage. I was just enjoying watching the defense on film. It was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. And I'll shovel it off to you, Brian, but I tell you what, the front seven just played just so, so well. They played the way that you and I have been talking about the potential of this front playing, that they played that way.
There's a comment that somebody made that I want to kind of bring up that relates to the previous topic and this topic. Brian Dembo said, is the offense in week four in the same place the defense was in week one?
Ooh.
And my answer would be no, because here's the difference. In week one, and this leads back to this talk, the thing that you and I said after the first two games when there were some people panicking about the defense, said, look, they're like five or six plays away from shutting down the last two opponents. Notre Dame's offensive line is not five or six plays away. They're only five or six good plays, and then the rest are bad. So, no, they're not. And the other thing was is – you had a bunch of guys in a new system, and it was a coach getting to learn his new guys and all that kind of stuff. Jeff Quinn's been coaching these linemen since they've been at Notre Dame, with the exception of one guy, that's Josh Luck, who he coached, who played 1 year under Harry Hiestand and then now four under Jeff Quinn. So it's a little different circumstances, but what it shows is, to me, this shows what good coaching can do, however, because where his question is coming from, and it's a very good point, and a very good question is, the defense had problems the first couple games because they were making mistakes. They weren't playing fundamentally sound. There were some things they were doing schematically that we didn't think necessarily fit what they should be doing.
Right.
And each week they got better and better and better because, number one, Marcus Freeman got to know his players more. They got to know him better, but they clearly, the preparation that group shows to stop what the other team is doing is so good. Yesterday, the reason yesterday was such a good performance, they didn't have a ton of tackles for loss. I think they had like four or five.
Not even that many, I don't think.
They only had one sack the whole game. Even though they don't credit them for a sack, but they got a sack because the strip by Jason Adamiola of Graham Mertz was a sack. It even says it in the play-by-play, sack, but I don't know why they don't count it as a sack in the stat sheet. Whatever. It is what it is. But they weren't as disruptive as they've been. What made this such a good performance is this is one of the best 11 guys doing their job really hard that I've ever seen. That's coaching and talent. That's what coaching plus you got really good players is supposed to look
sure.
like. One of the things I keep reading, and I read today on ESPN, and I saw it on one of the CBS, and there's an SI article that wrote about this, and it drives me nuts, is, you know, they're not real talented, but they're scrapping, finding a way to win. If you're watching this Notre Dame defense and your takeaway is they're not supremely talented.
Are you serious?
Yes. This isn't one of Brian Kelly's most talented teams. What in the heck are you watching?
Are you kidding me? That is such a terrible take.
Extremely talented football team. And there are some that are saying, I mean, I've had, I think somebody on the message board, I forget. So, look, Cam Hart's a future NFL player. He said, you know, Kyle Hamilton's an NFL player. There's dudes playing linebacker going to be playing the NFL. There's a lot of dudes on the defensive line they're going to be playing again.
So. Yeah.
But there are some dudes that won't be NFL players that are just really good college players. And yesterday, it wasn't 11 guys doing their job. It was like 23.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and I'm really going to sit here and count as you're talking about how many guys they played yesterday. And I can't think of a single guy that I was, other than we talked about Clarence Lewis. And Clarence Lewis had about like 4 or 5 bad plays. But he also had some good plays yesterday,
right? Too. Well, he had more opportunities to be bad because they kept picking on him,
right?
I mean,
his bad was playing too off on a curl route, you know,
sure.
Biting on a double move. Some things right. He's got to be better at. But he also had some plays. I mean, he helped, you know. So again, his bad was he didn't play. You know, he made some mistakes, right? But they didn't prove super super costly. Jack Cohn made a big mistake biting in on that backside seam by the tight end. But Jack Cohn made up for it about 10 times in that game.
Kaiser.
Why do I keep saying Jack Cohn?
I don't know.
You did Jack Cohn playing Rover?
You did it yesterday, too.
I did. I don't know why. Too many Cohn Jacks. Okay, I can deal with one Jack at a time, okay?
It's a good thing another one transferred then, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, if Jack Lamb was still here, I'd be totally screwed. Jack Kaiser, makes that, gets beat early. It's going to happen, right? But what do you do about it after the fact?
Yeah.
That's what I liked, Vince.
I don't know, okay, pick six?
I'd say so. But there were so many plays before that where Jack.
Oh, 100%. I was being hyperbolic. But yes. They were making plays all day long. All day long. And it wasn't just one or two guys. It was Howard Cross made play in the backfield. Jason Adamiola had multiple plays in the backfield.
Jacob Lacy.
The interior guy. Let me just say this. Everybody was freaking out. Why is his name
Kurt Heinisch?
Thank you.
At least I got the Jack part right. Come on, Vince.
I know, right? Seriously, you're sending me some negative vibes here, buddy.
It's my fault.
I'm blaming you. No,
that's fair. So,
but they really stepped up in the interior when they knew Kurt Heinisch wasn't going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's why they did it, but what I'm saying is their play stepped up and. Nobody who watched that game, if you've never watched a Notre Dame game, you wouldn't have realized that the starting nose wasn't playing, mm-hmm. right?
Who's you a good football player?
Yeah, absolutely. They don't bring him back for He's a their sixth
only
year.
Only defensive lineman good. That's more than 280 pounds. Do you realize that?
I did not realize that, but
guys in the rotation, they have guys. I mean, Gabriel Rubio's bigger than that. Aiden Kiana-Ana is bigger than that. But if the guys have played yesterday, he's the only one that weighed. Jason Adamiola was their biggest defensive lineman yesterday, weight wise. 280 against Wisconsin, who averaged 312 across the board.
Exactly. Absolutely correct. And so, yeah. So anyway, the interior played amazing. Foskey played great. I thought Myron played great. I thought Justin played great. And Justin was making plays not on the line. He was making plays out in space that mm-hmm. I thought was impressive, right? Because he only started playing Viper in fall camp. He was a big end until then. And so that is quite the learning curve to be able to go out there and play in space. So, I was very impressed, and I know you were counting. What number did you come up with guys that
I have 20 so far? But there's a couple like I'm not sure. Like, did KJ Wallace play on defense at all yesterday? I don't remember seeing him. There's just a couple, but yeah, I think 20 is what I have. I have five defensive tackles, 4 defensive ends, so 9 defensive linemen. I saw. Oh, I'm sorry, 21. I forgot Bo Bauer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have Jack Kaiser, Drew White, J.D. Bertrand, Isaiah Pryor, and Bo Bauer, linebacker. So that's five linebackers. I have the three safeties, Griffith, Hamilton, and D.J. Brown.
Yep.
And then four corners, Hart, Lewis, Bracy, and Ramon Henderson.
Did Ramon play? Okay, I didn't see Ramon. Played. Okay.
Yeah, he played. He was in their nickel.
Okay.
So that's 21 guys. And I mean, it's just like everybody was playing together. It was great team football. Here's the other thing too, is they had stuff that we hadn't seen all year.
Exactly.
I mean, they had calls, they had sub packages. There were times where they took Cam Hart off the field and they had Tariq Bracy and Clarence Lewis on the field in their base defense in certain packages. They had times where they had Jordan Patelho as a fourth linebacker. Like not as a sub for Isaiah Foskey. They were on the field together.
Yes, correct. And
4-4 look.
And I think you're going to see more of that with him being at linebacker and on the defensive line.
I don't think we'll see it with him in a 4-4 look anymore, at least because nobody runs the ball like them.
Correct.
But perhaps still in the 4-3, you know, where maybe, you know.
I'm just saying you're going to see him in space and you're also going to see him on the line. That's all I meant. Yes.
Okay. No, I thought you were saying with Foskey on the field as well, Foskey. The point being, they threw different looks at Wisconsin, and Wisconsin could never figure it out.
Right.
And they were aggressive, but it was the most controlled game plan that we'd seen.
It wasn't just running around like crazy people at all.
And it wasn't like a lot of blitzes. It was clear. They were run blitzing more than they were pass blitzing, right? Which meant gap control and penetration.
Exactly.
They weren't, like you said, they weren't blowing Wisconsin off the line. They were beating with speed. Great game planning from Marcus Freeman, the defense. I thought it was a very control. You know, this is a team that's been so aggressive, but for him to show the discipline to say, hey, look, that's not what's needed against Wisconsin. And here's why. Right. Why was it not needed against Wisconsin? Because if you're too aggressive against Wisconsin and they get a body on a body, it's gone.
Absolutely.
It's
correct.
Gone. And it was a controlled aggression where you had guys protecting. I thought the way that they used Kyle Hamilton was great.
Oh,
somebody had said, I didn't see Kyle Hamilton a lot. It's because of how they used him. They used him as we talked about, as a center fielder to, you know, hey, you sure you want to throw this play action shot down the field? And then at other times they said, okay, you go cover Jake Ferguson, which is what you talked about wanting to see. And there were times where basically they were saying, we're not going to use Kyle to make a play on the ball. We're going to use Kyle to make sure that the ball doesn't go here.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they knew the ball wasn't going to go there, and then they could play it other ways. It was such a great game plan. It was great execution of that game plan. I thought man, it's so past time to put respect on Mike Elson's name. I mean, just he had nine different guys playing yesterday, missing one of their captains, and we're seeing great technique, great leverage, playing with the proper angles. I thought the job of the ends coming down and crashing like we talked about needing to do prevented Wisconsin from getting their stretches going.
Yep.
Everything that we said, if this happens, we think the defense can play well. They did yesterday.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What was great was those backside ends that were crashing down hard. That's exactly what was happening to Notre Dame on the offensive side. It was nice to see the roles reversed a little bit,
right.
And Notre Dame was doing that to them.
Yeah, and just taking on those lead blockers and those kickouts and those wraps and just closing up holes. And it's like they had to work so hard to get gains of 6 and 7 and 5. And it's like, you know, the backs were making cuts behind the line.
And that's what we said going into this game. The way you shut down a run game, number one, you stop them on first down, which we talked about, but then you move the line of scrimmage backwards because then it forces the guy to make a cut in the backfield and you have more time to get your guys to rally to the football. And they did that all day long.
So what usually happens against Wisconsin, Vince, is the way that they play is the running back will get kind of like 4 or 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, or the past the offensive lineman, and it's an 8-9 yard gain. Because by the time he gets through the line, they're 2-3 yards downfield.
Yep.
What was happening a lot yesterday was he was getting 3, 4, 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, and they were 2 and 3 yard gains. Because they were just getting so much movement that Wisconsin could not get the push, and they were pushing Wisconsin back. Because leverage is so – and this is what we talk about that kind of relates to the offensive line. Leverage wins these battles. Speed and leverage can beat size and power if you use it correctly. And Marcus Freeman and Mike Elson absolutely used it correctly yesterday.
Right.
And he said, hey, look, we don't have Kurt Heinisch. Now, here's the good thing is they knew all week they weren't going to have Kurt Heinisch. So they got a little bit of a break that they that he was ruled out so early.
Right. We knew it. We knew it well in advance. Right. So you know, but
the
yeah.
danger can so be, hey, we're going to practice like we think we have Kurt. But if we don't, we have a – no, they were able to practice all week. We don't have Kurt Heinisch.
Right.
And instead of saying, well, but this is what we would do with Kurt or this is what we do, he said, okay, here's who we got. Got Howard Cross, got Jacob Lacey. They're 260 – I mean, Howard Cross, I'm looking at it here on the roster. He's listed at 275 pounds. I'll bet you a steak at Outback or Texas Roadhouse or wherever you want to go that if you and I went and weighed Howard Cross tomorrow, he's not 275 pounds.
No. No, we have to make sure he takes all the nickels out of his pocket too. Yeah.
Jacob Lacey's listed at 275 pounds.
Yeah.
Those are your nose guards yesterday against Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin brings the beef. I mean,
but it's also a huge credit to Matt Bayless because the Notre Dame linemen are strong.
Yes.
And we saw that yesterday. But there were also about 5 or 6 plays where I saw a Notre Dame defensive lineman trying to slant and Wisconsin caught him and drove him off the ball. But there was nowhere to go because of the way that the linebackers were playing and the way that it was such an 11-man together that they had an answer. That's fine. We got our safeties coming down or we've got our linebackers crashing. And you made a point to me before the show, Vince, that you thought Drew White played well when you watched it live. But you were even more impressed when you watched the film. Talk to me about what you saw from Drew when you broke things down.
Yeah, so obviously he made plays in the run game. Don't get me wrong. He was all over the football just like he always is. But he made plays that aren't you're not going to see in the stat sheet. And just to let you know, he had 4 total tackles, 3 solos. And of course, the big interception at the end. And that's not even what I'm referring to. He was in the right place at the right time in the pass game. All day, right? Mm-hmm. So when Mertz would roll out, he would throw the ball and it would just go straight into the ground, right? Even if the guy caught it, Drew White was right there. Mm-hmm. Or he had to throw it away because Drew White was right there. Or there was one play where I think it was a running back caught the or he was going to catch the ball, but he dropped it. But even if he had caught it, Drew White was right there. Every time I looked at an incomplete pass or something along those lines. I found 40, and he was on his guy, and he was making plays. And if it wasn't for him, there would have been a bunch of dump downs, and it would have been a lot of opportunity for extra yards for Wisconsin. Mertz had nothing to go to because they were protecting everything underneath. And Drew White did a great job yesterday. He did a great job, and we've knocked him for not being good in the pass game.
Because of his length. Yes.
Right. But he was
and he'd
right
get a little there. Bit like peaky. He was always trying to come downhill.
He didn't have to do that. He had enough faith in his front that he didn't have to be peaky. So I thought he did a really, really good job. He is coming into his own at linebacker. I absolutely believe that.
And I thought that, you know, this is a game where we'd see a lot more Bo Bauer. We didn't necessarily see a lot more Bo Bauer. We saw about the normal amount of Bo Bauer. But how they used him again was okay. Bo's not like Drew.
Yeah, we
didn't see Bo Bauer dropping into coverage like Drew did. We saw him, and that's again know your people, know your people.
Yep.
And again, I just thought this staff was good, was really on its game yesterday. And Wisconsin came out that first third quarter that they ran a shovel pass. And they had a couple things they did, and how quickly Notre Dame was able to adjust to that. And be prepared for that was just really good. And then what was the biggest knock above all others that we saw from that we talked about the defense in the first two games? I'm going to be honest with you. my big concern was when Notre Dame fell behind 13-10 in the fourth quarter, I'm like, well, this hasn't been a great fourth quarter defense. They're an undersized D-line against a big physical offensive line. Huh. What's going to happen here?
Yeah.
And then Chris Tyree does what he does, right, and sparks that. And then – but they didn't – there was no flinch. They didn't – Lou Holtz used to talk about that, like the, you just can't flinch. You can't flinch.
Right.
And they didn't flinch. And they put the – I mean, what's the word we've been talking about with them? Finish.
Finish.
Got to finish.
Finish.
And we talked about it. It was in my – it was my what to look for thing, right? Finish. Yeah. And goodness gracious, did they ever finish.
Well, okay. So I'll throw this up here, Mark. Thank you very much for the super sticker.
Yes.
We asked the defense in game three against Purdue that we needed a full game from them, right? That's the one thing that we put out there, right? The key to the game was no big plays and a complete game. Well, they didn't let Purdue score the last 22 minutes of the game. That's great, right? So I had faith the defense, you know, was getting better and they were getting better and they were getting better, right? Well, they took that to a whole other level in the game on Saturday because not only did they finish, but they put their foot on the throat of Wisconsin and they pushed down, right? All 11 of them at the same time and just said, hey, this is our game. Hey, thanks, Chris, for giving us back the lead. We'll take it from here. You know, I mean, that's basically what it was. And we said from the very get-go, if Wisconsin gets down and they're forced to throw the ball, that plays into the hand of Notre Dame. And they just made Wisconsin pay for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it all started in the first quarter when they wouldn't let Wisconsin run the football. I mean, they were off, you know, behind the chains, whatever terminology you want to use, off schedule. They could not get going what they wanted to get going because this defense came out early, punched them in the mouth in the run game, and they sent Wisconsin packing early. And then, of course, they had to throw, and they made them pay for that. So this was just an absolute complete game by the defense. And in the fourth quarter, they just shut the door so hard. I mean, the defense and the special teams outscored the offense. Okay? I mean, and the defense outscored Wisconsin, period.
Right.
You know? And we talked about Graham Mertz throwing more touchdowns to Notre Dame than he did to his own team. So,
right.
I mean, the defense just played outstanding, and it was so much fun to watch. Like, I'm so glad I didn't leave that game early.
Yeah. Here's something I wrote in my key takeaways, Vince, that'll just show that I think context is always important, right?
Sure.
This is Notre Dame held Wisconsin to just 74 rushing yards. In the previous eight seasons, the Badgers were held to below 75 rushing yards just six times. Three of those times came in 2014 and 2015, so it's been a while. Notre Dame held Wisconsin to just 2.64 yards per carry, despite only having four tackles for loss in the game, and the only sack of the game technically went for 0 yards because the ball was recovered forward.
Right.
So to hold a team like Wisconsin, Wisconsin had a grand total of one carry that went for double-digit yards, and it went for 10.
Barely.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is a level of dominance. See, because like the reason I point to the tackles for loss, Vince, as you had mentioned, tackles for loss sometimes can skew numbers. Like if you have like eight tackles for loss or minus 40 yards and like four of them are sacks, they really ran for 130 yards, but you had, you know, minus 40, so it looks like 90. But no, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
This was a level of dominance that you just don't see very often. And Wisconsin, based on the official stats, only had 5 negative yards in the game. They had 79 gained yards the entire game. So including, like, taking away the negatives, right? 79 gained yards in this game.
which, in a game
that was competitive for 3.5 quarters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that tells you right there that, you know, we talked about the fact that the defensive line needed to control things with the offensive line so that the linebackers could, you know, roam free and meet the running back at the line of scrimmage, et cetera, right? They did that all game, and the defensive line was meeting the ball carrier at the line of scrimmage. Now, I give Wisconsin credit because they're a good run team, so they were falling forward so that they weren't tackles for loss, but they were 1 and 2 yard gains, right? And so, yeah, they didn't fill the stat sheet with a bunch of TFLs. but they didn't allow Wisconsin to do anything in the run game, mm-hmm. which if Wisconsin can't run the ball, they're done.
Right.
I mean, they're absolutely right.
Especially
done.
Especially now, because yeah. Graham Mertz is just not good.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me about this on the message board, and I thought this was a really good question. He said, you know, look, was Graham Mertz just like, was it a bad, I mean, he was a highly ranked recruit. Notre Dame wanted him. Wisconsin, Notre Dame tried to flip him from Wisconsin. Like they sure. tried hard. Was it a misevaluation? And my answer was, I don't think it was a misevaluation. I think he went to the wrong school.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is he was a shotgun, catch it, read it, and let it rip guy in high school.
And now he's on an offense
that it's under center and yeah. play actions and downfield reads and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think he's good at that. And I think that they kind of jumped on that first game and said, you know, hey, here's what he is. And, you know, so I would be curious what they would look like right now if they still had Jack Cohn. Now, of course, that would assume that Jack Cohn didn't play last year anyway because of the injury. They would have had him back. But they, you know, that's kind of the thing for me, Vince, is there's like a moth flying down here. This has been a weird show.
It has been a weird show.
Your kid's running into doors. I got giant bugs flying in my face.
this is not just me.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that, but anyway, that also hurts them. That is something that I think helped Notre Dame yesterday. Because I think there was one thing that we did note is there, another thing that I thought was impressive about this defense is there weren't a lot of plays where like, boy, if they make that play, things are different. There really wasn't a lot of that. There was that one throw late in the second quarter that where Clarence Lewis got beat on the double move. That guy catches that. DJ Brown probably tackles him, but they're close to field goal range or in field. Sure. I'd have to go back and look, but they were at least
close to field goal range. Yeah,
with that. But you know, maybe you know that makes it what it had been 10-6 at halftime. You know, but there weren't even a lot of plays like that where boy, if that guy doesn't get tripped up there, he's gone. It wasn't that. The three times they had chances for big plays in the game, they hit two of them.
Right.
You know,
pass to the tight end down the seam, and then the missed play down the right side. Yeah,
right. It just Notre Dame didn't even give them those chances in this game, and it was a really as good of a coaching plus execution combination. Yes. Here's my favorite troll attempt of because I got a kick out of. It's okay. I got a kick out of just like. Some of the Wisconsin things and hearing what people are saying about Wisconsin and the fact that they were freaking touchdown lead and I try not to troll a whole lot on Twitter. I don't tweet as much on Twitter anymore. I just put out my stories, but I said Notre Dame's offense, 20 points or 20 points. Notre Dame's defense, 14 points. Wisconsin's offense, entire team, 13 points. At least they outscored the special teams who only had 7 points. You know, and so far, it really wasn't that dumb. You know, look, the games are four quarters. At what point do we stop saying this counts?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, Wisconsin stops counting when it's anything Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They could not do anything on Notre Dame defensively yesterday.
Right.
If that game would have kept playing, all Notre Dame would have done was keep putting it away. I mean, once Notre Dame got that lead, this, like I said, is the greatest sequence. It was the greatest team sequence we've seen this season. The kick return for the touchdown, the immediate stop by the defense, the answer by the offense to go down and score a touchdown.
Yep.
That was the greatest
backup quarterback.
Whole team sequence.
Yeah.
And a third string left tackle.
Right.
The whole sequence of that team ball right there put that game away. And as we've said before, if you get Wisconsin behind, they are not good. That all happened before the pick sixes. Notre Dame built an 11-point lead on Wisconsin before the fluky pick sixes. Chris Tyree taking a kick back to the house is not a freaking fluke.
Right.
He's one of the fastest players in college football, and you finally turned him loose, and that's what happened.
Right.
That was a well-executed play. And I've heard people say, you know, it was a fluky. No, it was not. Notre Dame went up 24-13. Right. I mean, that's the thing is they went down and then kicked another field goal to go up 27-13. They were pulling away from Wisconsin because they were better than Wisconsin.
Correct.
And they were better for Wisconsin for four quarters. Wisconsin had one turn of events in the third quarter that was built around Jack Cohn getting hurt and the one long play where they kind of got some momentum. And then Notre Dame said, nope. And they didn't just do it with a kick return. They did it with a kick return, an immediate stop on defense, and an offensive drive where they went down the field and scored, where Drew Pine went 4 of 4 for 49 yards and a touchdown. That's not fluky.
Right.
That's called, we're better than you, even when our backup quarterback's in the game. That's what that's called. And that's what made this a fun game to watch. Notre Dame was the better team yesterday on a neutral field. So it's not like you can say, well, it was a home game. It was a neutral field.
There was a ton of Wisconsin people there.
Notre Dame was the better team from start to finish. And anyone that says otherwise is just wrong, in my opinion.
Correct. Agreed.
So anything else to add to this, Vince? I'm going to go through here looking for some comments yet from yesterday.
No, I mean, look, it was – as soon as Chris Tyree took that ball back, it was game over, and it felt that way. Like it totally deflated the entire stadium. And somebody asked what the atmosphere was like. You know, where was it? Anyway, somebody asked what the atmosphere was like. It was a great atmosphere.
It was the super chat from Corey D.
Yeah, I mean,
it was like yeah.
It was a, you know, here we go, Jeff. What was the atmosphere like in the stadium at the start of the fourth from the Wisconsin jump around and Wisconsin taking the lead until the Tyree run, and thoughts during all of it? Look, when they were playing jump around, you could feel it in the stadium. Like, mm-hmm. And that was on, and most of the Wisconsin fans were on the other side of the stadium. Okay. You could feel it. And it was cool. I was like, okay, yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, I dug it. Like it was a really cool feeling. But I think it also got everybody else fired up too.
Well, but they also went down and took the lead after that too.
Vince. For sure.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
But as soon as Chris Tyree scored, that's when the Wisconsin people started to take off, because that's how much confidence they had in their offense.
They knew they had their chance and lost it.
Correct.
They knew they had their chance.
It was amazing how fast the red went away after Chris Tyree came back and scored that touchdown. So,
like, crap, we know our offense isn't scoring again.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're out of here. Let's beat the traffic. So, yeah. It's funny because I didn't notice it right away. And all of a sudden I looked and because it was a blinding red because it was right in my face. And then it was mostly blue seats, like really quickly. So, and obviously the Irish fans stayed till the end. So it was just a great atmosphere for a neutral site game. Mm-hmm. I give a lot of credit to that whole end of things. It was really well done. So
yeah, it seemed like a really good college environment in an NFL stadium, which you don't often get.
No, you don't. I thought it was, and the outside environment was great. I mean, so yeah, it was well done. Except for the long line to get in, that stunk. It took me a half hour to get in. But other than that, it was fantastic. And I would highly recommend them doing that again. And if they're going to do it at Soldier Field, make sure they're playing a Midwest team that travels well. Don't play Miami there.
And Wisconsin has a very good traveling crowd.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it was, you know, look, both teams were obviously ranked, and so it made it a bigger deal. I get that. But make sure, if you're going to do a neutral site game, make sure the other fans can get there. I mean, that's my big thing.
Right.
So
Joel Easton says, box score said Hamilton had half a tackle. So weird, and yet says volumes about how important he is. He actually had three tackles, two solo and one assisted.
Correct.
But still, not a lot of tackles.
But your point is still correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's what D-Rock said that we talked about before the game, is if you don't hear Kyle Hamilton's name a whole lot this weekend, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Because of how we thought Notre Dame was going to use him. And they did use him the way that we had hoped that they would.
Right.
See, at least the defensive staff listens to us. I said jokingly, for people that don't have
a subscription. You know they're subscribed.
It's like, hey, Driscoll, so explain to me what you were thinking on that one. Let's walk me through. No, that doesn't.
What do you want me to do here?
Yeah. Michael Leake, and I appreciate that. Says you were spot on. Vinny and Coach D, you were spot on with your whiskey pregame talk.
It was actually probably the most spot on I feel like I have been, like, in a really long time. Like, I had a feeling about how this game was going to go, not with pick sixes at the end, but the rest of it. Like, I told everybody, I have faith in the defense, man, and they powered through for me. I appreciate it.
Yep, here's that one from D-Rock that you pulled up earlier.
Yeah, yep.
So, anything else to add, Vince? I'm kind of going through here to find some more comments. Yeah. Here we go. Top five defensive players from yesterday. Go.
Poof. That's tough because it was like 20. I will go with, let's see, Adamiola, Jason Adamiola. I will go with, This is in no particular order, by the way. Hart, obviously, White, Bertrand, Foskey. Have I hit five yet?
Nope. No Adam Iola, huh? No Cross.
I said Jason.
Oh, so you Adam said Iola. Hart, Bertrand,
White,
Foskey, Jason. And Jason.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, there's my five.
I don't think it's possible to pick five, so I'm not going to try to.
I don't think you can either. Like, I could have kept going. That's. But thanks for leaving me out, hanging out to dry here, buddy. Appreciate that.
Well, hey, you know what? I wanted to give you your chance to get that out there. yeah, to good get
friend.
You back.
Good friend.
Had to get you back. let's get back to here. I'm trying to find some more of these comments here real quick.
Yeah, I think we – well, go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say, I kind of got to wrap here a little bit. Okay.
You got to bounce, but I wanted just all these people that kind of joined us late on a Sunday night, I wanted to at least get some of their comments up here.
Patrick Barnes with a super chat. I'm going to throw it up here. He says, do you think Kelly will use the return game more now? Sorry if you already answered that. I just jumped on the podcast. I hope so.
I sure hope so. But I'm skeptical to think it may be a thing where it's like, well, you know, we did it once and he'll do it until the first time he gets tackled at like the 16, and then he's like,
and then it'll be,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
My question though, but here's my serious question on this, right? Like, we're just kind of giving Coach Kelly a hard time on that one, but serious question is, what does this now do to future teams with their kickoff?
I'd How be putting many more in the
chances
end zone.
Is he going to get?
You know, I wouldn't give him any chances.
I mean, and then does some of these guys who maybe don't have that kind of leg, are they going to kick a couple out of bounds because they're trying to pin him in the corner? That's right. Why a thing like that is so important.
Absolutely.
And how do they handle it? How do they respond to it? And, you know, I still thought special teams wise, there's a couple missed opportunities. I didn't understand why they didn't try to heat him up right before the half. You know, put Kyron Williams at the 50-yard line and just send everybody. And if he booms it, and okay, fine, it rolls and you go into halftime. But if you can force him to shank it because you're sending everybody, maybe you catch a line drive.
Go get a field goal.
Or maybe he kicks it out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's just one of those things where that's when we talk about, you know, lack of aggressiveness, we're not saying you send 10 guys as hard as you can every time there's a punt, because then you're going to get beat. They're going to fake a punt and they're going to beat you, right? There's a time and a place. When a team is backed up, that's a time to go after it. You know, when a team is kind of at the 38 or 39 going in and they're going to that's not a good time to go after it for me, because you're more likely to see a fake there, because that's not it's not as damaging if they don't get it, because you're still in there. You know what I mean? So you got to be smart about it. But I do think there were some missed opportunities, but I was happy to see them finally call that return. It would have been so easy for them in that situation to say, hey, look, we're behind now. We can't take a chance. We've got to just fair catch it. And honestly, the kicker kicked it exactly where you want it. I mean, Notre Dame was running a left return, and the kicker kicked it all the way from a Notre Dame standpoint, the Notre Dame right corner.
Well, he said it was a center return. That's what Kelly said.
Is that what he said? Center?
He said center, yeah.
So they're running a center return, right? And the guy does it from all the way into the back corner.
Right, and I understand the skepticism to run a center return, because you're spreading out your guys more and it's harder to block. Mm-hmm. I get it. You know, when you run a right return and the kick is usually put to the right, you use the sideline and it's but the problem is there's less lanes, right? When you do a center return, you've got more possibility for lanes, and there was a huge lane. Yes. You could have driven a Mack truck through it.
But it required originally you to make a move.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
That's the thing about a return game. You got to make one guy miss.
And then burn it.
And luckily it was the kicker. But then he outran a couple other dudes.
He outran a couple inside, dudes. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
We did get a huge super chat here from Reza. Appreciate you. Wow.
Reza.
That is a new live super chat record.
I was wondering. Right, okay. There. So he said a minute ago. Here he goes.
Here we go. All right.
Redirecting that Quinn Banner plane money to you guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. So that's what that is. All right. So what that is he asked a question on the premium message board. So I'm gonna pull this one up. It was actually kind of funny. Let me pull up his question here real quick. So he said two serious questions. The first one was, this is on the premium board. Since Quinn won't be fired midseason, is there anyone on staff who can help? They can't be blind to what's going on. Would it be Kelly or Taylor? Is anyone even qualified on staff? I don't, not to coach it. not to coach it. Look, and here's the thing I'll say is, I think Jeff Quinn is competent enough that if somebody can direct him on, hey, this is what we need to do, I think he can coach that. I do. It's going to take Tommy Rees and Brian Kelly and Lance Taylor and John McNulty to sit down and say, hey, look, this is exactly what we need to get.
Yeah.
And then you got to go coach it. So I think he's competent enough to do that. I don't think he's an idiot. I don't think he's this coach that doesn't deserve to be at, you know, coach. No, I'm not taking those shots at him. He's not doing a good enough job. In three of his four seasons, you could argue he didn't do a good enough job. This year has been especially bad because it's a combination of him not doing a good job plus a lot of new guys and
new guys, yeah. Things.
Young guys.
Right. And so I want to, you know, I do think there are things can do to people to take over. No, but people to get Jeff Quinn to do what he needs to do. And maybe you have the GA, as we've said, I'll stand by this. The one thing I think you can do is you can say to your GA, you have one responsibility. It's get Tosh Baker going.
Right.
Right. Or maybe you make it Tosh Baker and Joe Alt, your left tackles, but get them going. I'll handle everybody else. You get them ready to go. They're your pet project. And then Tommy and Coach Rees and Lance Taylor and John McNulty need to say to him, hey, this is what you need to do. See this? That ain't happening. Fix that. See that? Fix that. His second question was, if anyone were willing to coordinate it, I would consider funding a plane flying a banner with a certain message about Quinn over the Cincinnati game on the parking lot pregame. Would never say to fire him, but maybe something like, hey, Brian, we actually know Quinn stinks, for the record. And so instead of putting money towards that, my guy sent us a super chat. So much more constructive way, because we will do verbally on this podcast what you wanted to do with a plane. Yeah. And my response to that was, I'm not in favor of doing that because I think that hurts the players more. And he was being sarcastic and funny. He wasn't being serious. But
we appreciate, believe me.
Yeah, and I very much appreciate the super chat. And yeah, very, very much. So
very much.
But that is huge. That is huge. And it's a lot of people appreciating it too. It's not just us that appreciates that.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what's nice about this community is that's awesome, Vince. Do you see that?
That's great.
Here's a couple things before we go. Craig Kelm says, Reza, thank you so much. Craig Kelm says, we got spoiled with Lou Holtz special teams dominance. Great to see the kick return. I mean, we've seen kick returns be a big part of what Notre Dame has done during periods of the Brian Kelly tenure. I mean, we saw George Atkinson took a couple back to the house early in his tenure. I still can't believe they're gone, man. That stings. Doesn't seem real. CJ Sanders had a couple punt returns and a couple kick returns. Like, I think he's second only to Rocket in all time kick punt returns for scores in Notre Dame history. Right. I believe. So we've seen it. What Polian has been better at is the coverage. If he could do that and then be more aggressive in the returns, this special teams could be better. But that's the thing is, like, the coverage units were terrible under Scott Booker. But the returns were good.
Yeah.
And, like, they flipped. I would just – it's just like, why can't we ever get them on the same page? Michael Eakin wants to know, Reza, did you win a parlay? Because that's where Sheldon today. Hager was at yesterday. Sheldon Hager was feeling good because he won some money.
Notre Dame won him some money. Yeah.
Yes, I appreciate it. But anyway, appreciate you very much, Reza. And we appreciate everybody that joined us tonight. We had a big crowd for tonight's Upon Further Review.
Make sure
you're signed up. Make sure you hit the like button, subscribe, notification bell. If you're listening via podcast, please give us a 5-star review. If you are not a part of our premium message board, sign up below, boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'd love to see you on there. We're growing. Lots of good football talk. I put a video in there where we're talking about, you know, is it Cone? Is it the offensive line? So we cut up a video, we put it on the message board. We can only put it on the premium message board because we can't have it, you know, as easily to see and those kind of things. And we were able to talk ball and all those kind of things. So that's the kind of stuff that we're doing on the boards, and it's growing and it's been a lot of fun. So Appreciate y'all very much. So for Vince, right? I'm gonna see if I did. I did it. I did it right. I pointed in the right direction.
This guy.
For Vince, I'm Brian. Thanks again for being with us. We'll be back again tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern to talk about Brian Kelly's press conference and also the rest of what we saw in college.
The week that was.
It's another wild, wild weekend. I had a week a couple weeks ago where I went 0-3 with our – because we picked – not only did we pick the Notre Dame games, we picked national games too. I went 0-3 a couple weeks ago. Last week – this past weekend, I nailed them all. I got Notre Dame right, not the score, but the winner loser. I picked Arkansas to beat Texas A&M, and I picked NC State to beat Clemson. So I got all three of them. So
I didn't. I went 1-2.
You went 1-2. What, you got the Notre Dame one right?
Of course.
You picked A&M and Clemson? I can understand why you'd pick Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that one. So anyway, all right, everybody, have a great night. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Have a good one.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.